How has 24 started off for you? If it's been great, great. If it's been a bit difficult, don't worry, help is at hand because this week is looking pretty positive. So this week I will be talking about the astrology of the week ahead and also about the astrology of all of February.
Welcome to the Mainly Moonology podcast. I'm your host, Yasmin Boland, an award-winning astrologer and the Sunday Times best-selling author of books including Moonology and creator of the Moonology Oracle Cards. My intention for this podcast is to help you understand how you can create your dream life using Mainly Moonology, the moon, as your guide.
So first thing to note is we are now in the waning cycle of the moon. That's the period from the full moon back to the new moon. We had the full moon last week. Hopefully you joined with me and you let it all go. And now as we move through the waning cycle, it's time to kind of let go, move on, make peace and so on. The good news is that as we do that this week, we actually have some really nice astrology to kind of keep us feeling good and comfortable and looked after and hopefully nurtured. So January 29, which is today, if you listen to the podcast on the day that it comes out every Monday, today we are basking in the Venus-Jupiter alignment that we've just had from Capricorn to Taurus. And basically, Venus and Jupiter, when they get together, there's love in the air, there's kindness, there's art, there's abundance. So the week is starting off quite positively. Hopefully you've already picked up those vibes on the weekend, or you're picking them up now. And also today, January 29, we have Mars trining Uranus. Now, that's nice as well. Completely different energy, but it means whatever's going on can happen quickly. And hopefully you're going to find that the week starts off with good things happening quickly. And if they're not good things and they're not happening quickly, just try and breathe because the energies are really positive. So even if you have difficult things going on in your personal chart, overall the energies out there in the ethers are on the up and up and they're pretty good. And then once we get sort of to Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we actually get a lovely Mercury-Neptune alignment, which is really great for meditating. So if you are a meditator, now is your time. Okay, just if you're in my Mainly Moonology membership, and I know many of you are, go to the meditation library. There are so many meditations in there to choose from. Just pick one that suits you or just listen to the one for February, which will be up on February 1st. If you're not in the Mainly Moonology membership, go to mainlymoonologymembership.com and sign up. It's a beautiful membership that we have for our beautiful, beautiful members where you get a monthly podcast, you get meditations, you get new moon and full moon info sheets and so on and so forth. Now, in the Mainly Moonology membership, we do look at the month ahead. So I don't usually do the podcast looking at the month ahead because I like to keep that for the members. But one thing I do want to talk about this month is the fact that we are going to have Valentine's Day. So looking at the astrology for February 14, I'm going to tell you it's pretty intense. Let me just see what I've said here. Yes, I'm just looking at the Moonology Diary 2024, and I think it's sold out by now, I'm afraid. But if you've got it, I'm looking at page 45. The night before Valentine's Day is explosive. On the one hand, it could be the night of the best sex of your life so far. Woohoo! On the other, it could just be the night of the biggest argument of the year, because what's actually happening is Mars and Pluto are connecting in a way that they only do every 2 years. Mars being the planet of anger and Pluto being the planet of eruptions. So there could be either hot sex or hot anger. How it all pans out depends a lot on the kind of relationship you're in. If you're single and wondering how this could possibly apply to you, it could simply be that you're going to lose your cool with someone on February 13th. So tread lightly. And if you're attached and you're thinking, how's this going to apply to me? Let me just say, Just go easy in the lead up to Valentine's Day, especially if you and your partner are having difficult times, because although it could just turn out to be great passion and great sex, it could also turn out to be great anger. So what I wanted to do, given we have this pretty intense energies coming up, is really to try and tap into the goodness in the air right now, this week, with the Venus trining Jupiter, Mars trining Uranus, and Mercury trining Neptune. And the best way I know to do that is to chant. I did do a chant for the full moon last week, but I'm going to do a chant this week before I hand you over to a special surprise guest. So let's tap into the Venus-Jupiter energy, because that is kind of the nicest energy that's around as this week begins. Venus being the planet of love and abundance, and, you know, very strongly connected with the goddess Lakshmi. All right. So what I'm going to suggest is, unless you're driving, of course, just close your eyes. Close your eyes and just start to breathe. In through your nose and out through your mouth. In through your nose and out through your mouth. One more time. In through your nose and out through your mouth. And because we're at the start of the new year, I'm going to ask you, put your hands over your heart chakra and just bring to mind whatever it is you want to bring into your life this year that's to do with love or abundance, because Lakshmi actually is all about love and abundance, like Venus, the planet of love and abundance. All right, so we're just going to do a three-line chant in Sanskrit using Lakshmi's name, calling her in. So here we go.
Om Lakshmiye Namaha. Om Lakshmiye Namaha. Om Lakshmiye Namaha.
And just a reminder that things always go better when you hand them over to the divine. So hand anything you're wishing for, wanting to create, any sadness you have around love or money, hand it over to Lakshmi, hand it over to the divine, hand it over to the universe to be dealt with in the manner that is best for your highest good. All right, well, I hope that helps you make the most of this week. What about the rest of the year? What about the rest of the year? I know I've kind of spoiled the surprise with Valentine's Day, but I really wanted to mention that because of the intense energies next week, so to kind of give you a heads up. So the rest of the year, obviously a big, big thing, and I'm going to hand you over to a wonderful astrologer who does some writing for me from time to time. Her name is Kimberly Dewhurst. She is actually a Hong Kong-based astrologer, and she's the founder of a website called Star Sign Style. She's had an obsession with the stars since childhood, and now that astrology has become so popular in the past few years, she actually has turned it into a full-time career. You can find her website if you want to hear more from Kimberly at starsignstyle.com. I'll just say that again. The link will be in the description as well. starsignstyle.com. And she has really great blogs on her website, things about, you know, the solstice we've just had at the time I'm recording this, things to do in Capricorn season, for example, how to celebrate the new moon in Sagittarius. So she's a really great astrologer. And I asked Kimberly, what do you think everybody needs to know about 2024, the astrology of 2024? And here is what she said.
Hi, I'm Kimberly, and here's what I want you to know about the astrology of 2024. First of all, I'd like to comment on the conjunction of Jupiter and Uranus in April. Around the 20th and 21st, we might see some really big, spectacular events. So do get involved if you have the opportunity. I believe there's going to be a culturally significant moment that happens that we're going to be talking about not just for years, but for decades afterwards. So particularly in the area of art, music, movies, fashion, and food. So if you get the opportunity to go to a really exciting restaurant launch, if you could go to a music festival, for example, Coachella is scheduled for that time, or if you're invited to a show or some other exciting event that's happening, for example, a fashion show, an art exhibition, a movie, anything that's happening then, mark it in your calendars as a really exciting time. We've also got the influence of Uranus in the realm of Taurus, which is the natural world, and Jupiter piling on there. So we might have some really exciting or disruptive events in the natural world, for example, natural disasters, so earthquakes, volcanoes, or any kind of tectonic shifts underway. They could be happening at that time too. Also disruption to the financial and business markets. Of course, Taurus is the realm of all that is normally stable, and we've seen lots of disruption in the world of finance and banking with leaps and different types of currencies coming in online, digital currencies. And so April could be this really, really exciting time for advancements, but also major disruption around business, finance, economies, and the world of banking. Note that Taurus also rules over consumerism and consumption and fashion. And so we've seen this major leap in the direction of awareness around how we shop online and generally in brick and mortar stores. So April, again, is going to be a really exciting month to perhaps see some launches or some brand initiatives that help move us in a more green direction. We're all much more aware now of how fabrics and materials end up in landfill and how important it is to recycle, repurpose and reuse, especially in the luxury goods market or when it comes to fast fashion. There are obviously lots of extremes in the way that we're shopping and buying things, but it's very, very possible to resell, reuse and upcycle different items that we have in our closets and give them new life. So that's a really exciting area of development that Uranus has brought to our attention since being in Taurus. And with Jupiter, we can only expect to expand on that area. Also, food, agriculture and farming have undergone developments too, with lots of new ways of eating and dining. So look out for those exciting developments when it comes to what we put into our bodies in terms of what we're eating, and new advancements in that area as well. Next up, we have Saturn in Pisces. Saturn is, of course, following the path of Neptune, which has been moving through Pisces. And we might consider that Saturn is bringing rules, regulations, guidelines, and imposing restrictions in Neptune's watery domain. So the first thing that springs to mind is, of course, substances and substance abuse. So for example, the opioid crisis and use of fentanyl, the free use of cannabis, alcohol, which has always been legal, and lots of other substances like psychedelics and ketamine, which are becoming more, I wouldn't say mainstream, but perhaps there's been a bit more research and development for those in a way for the mental health crisis. There also has been a little bit of a pushback already with Saturn in Pisces, or a bit more news around younger generations that are less interested in alcohol use and choosing a more sober, they're choosing sobriety, choosing a more sober path to live. Neptune in Pisces has also seen the introduction of streaming services like Spotify and Netflix, and a big viral trend around artwork. So streaming being this sensation of being able to go and free flowing around what we consume in terms of media. So films, movies, and music. But there's also this opening of the floodgates when it comes to AI and artwork. And so Saturn in Pisces could start to impose more regulations, governance, and safety measures when it comes to this artwork platforms that are just churning and churning and spilling out artwork very, very in a free-flowing fashion. So Saturn could really pump the brakes or introduce parameters to work around and borders and boundaries in some kind of fashion around what has been flowing so freely. Neptune in Pisces has also seen the explosion of social media, including filters and blurred boundaries, fogginess around some of the content that we consume on these social platforms. With Saturn in Pisces as well, there may just be firming up of some lines that have been really, really blurry around forgery or fake things, things that are false information, fake images, and so on. Again, it's a continuation of the point I made about AI, but there's a very vast sea of online content, and essentially it might just become more important to have legislation around what is true and what is false. We've also got Pluto moving into Aquarius and dipping back into Capricorn to the 29th degree, which is a hot spot, being an anorectic degree of the zodiac sign Capricorn. And so I feel that with this touching again of the 29th degree, that we could see some finality, some conclusions, and some closing of the book on big stories that have been touching our institutions, our governments, and big corporations, big firms. So first of all, we've got Capricorn, Ghislaine Maxwell, and her legal case, her big, big story involving Jeffrey Epstein and the royal family and many different high-profile authoritarian figures. So we might see the closing of that story, more revelations coming forward, more parts of the puzzle being slotted into place, but then a real conclusion as Pluto departs Capricorn. We've also got Capricorn rising Prince Harry. Obviously, he's been going through a situation with a big institution, which is the royal family, the monarchy. And so we have, since Pluto's been in Capricorn, transformed our outlook on so many different big corporations, big businesses, big institutions, and firms. So of course, we've seen lots of stories, lots of revelations, lots being shared with us from Harry's perspective, from Meghan's perspective, about the monarchy, this big institution, this big family, and this big monarchy that we are also exposed to. So I believe by the end of the year, we might have some kind of a conclusion, some kind of an ability to move forward and really close the book on that chapter. I really don't feel like it's been sort of neatly packaged and set to the side or put away. So I think that there will be more coming forward around that issue, either from Harry himself or from the royal family, making it a statement or moving forward with some kind of closure and commonality between perhaps the brothers. Again, Harry's a Capricorn rising. Two more figures that we have that are Capricorn risings that I've been watching are Kylie Jenner and Ariana Grande, who both, when Pluto was at the 29th degree of Capricorn, came forward about tweaks and adjustments and amendments to their appearance that they had over the last few years as Pluto was transiting their respective first house. So Capricorn is a feminine sign, and it's also a sign that we attribute to success and having perhaps a polished appearance. And there's a really fitting saying that I think fits nicely with this, which is, honey, you're not ugly, you're just poor. And so there being an association between having the money and the wealth and the power to appear successful. Of course, Kylie Jenner was involved in a little bit of a scandal when her earnings were questioned. She was on the front cover of Time magazine, which is a very Capricorn sounding publication. And on the front cover of Time, she was touted as a billionaire, the youngest billionaire, having made money from her own company named Kylie Cosmetics. And so with this move of Pluto through Capricorn, you know, the idea of success, the idea of having been, you know, made into some kind of a business mogul or a business success. But then as Capricorn reaches as Pluto reaches the last degree of Capricorn, seeing a bit of a closing of the chapter on that issue of what is success and is it all it's meant to be? And are these people really happy with the way that they've transformed their looks and how they appear to be? And the answer, of course, is perhaps a little bit of a no. Now to talk about Pluto in Aquarius, this is going to completely transform the way we socialize. Now, of course, we already socialize considerably in the digital realm online, but with Pluto in Aquarius, all kinds of privacy issues are going to be kicked up. And I believe as well, online bullying or trolling, being a troll, and privacy around those areas. So perhaps counteracting online bullying or being able to somehow hold people accountable to the way they treat their friends and their followers. So as an extension of this, influencers and micro-influencers being really, really important, especially in 2024 as Jupiter moves into Gemini, the sign of blogging, writing, connection, and communication, and Jupiter making that trine to Pluto in Aquarius. We've also got the North Node in Aries. So I feel like there's going to be this real impact made by key influencers, key people in the digital realm, and really wealth, control, and power being handed to people that have been elected by their friends, by their followers, by their small group, their niche community. So historically, we've had kings and people who have been elected as special or the talent, the performer. But now with Pluto moving into Aquarius, I believe it will really level the playing field and that, again, wealth, power and control will be handed to people on a much more general level, and that it will be really important for big brands and businesses to identify the small people, the smaller people in power, the many people in power, the everyman. And again, a bit of a leveling of the playing field when it comes to wealth and power, not seeming so exciting, special, or revered when the crown is worn by one person, it really being about handing it over to the masses. I also believe that the next two decades, while Pluto is in Aquarius, are going to be huge for transgender issues and gender in general. Of course, Aquarius is the sign that is associated with Uranus, and Uranus was a mythological figure that was castrated and left with no genitals. And so that idea of a lack of gender or gender fluidity, I think, is going to be really deeply, deeply explored over the next two decades. I also think that people who have taken advantage of their fans and followers or somehow misrepresented themselves will be held accountable, just like we've seen with Pluto moving through Capricorn, certain figureheads being held accountable or revelations coming around. I think the similar thing will happen with people during Pluto in Aquarius, but it will be figureheads that have been at the top of the tree with many fans, many followers, and perhaps there being this reckoning where people see those figures for what they are and perhaps not having humanity's best interests at heart. So with Jupiter's move into Gemini in the middle of next year, connection, writing, expressing ourselves is going to be really important. Again, teaching methods, teaching online, teaching and relating to our community, connecting to our broader community, Jupiter is going to be making that trine to Pluto in Aquarius. So tapping into the bigger social issues, but having a way to articulate and express ourselves, having a way to relate to our fellow man. Again, those micro influences, being the people in the driver's seat who are able to relate and connect. And I also think we're going to have a little bit of a trend around biking around our local areas. So look out for people wanting to acquire or procure a bicycle. I saw a big trend around that when the North Node was in Gemini. There happened to be a shortage of bicycles. Most important thing is that we all go into the new year with a lot of optimism and positivity. We have some nice aspects in January with Jupiter too. So let's make those big plans. Let's enjoy ourselves and make the most of everything. Here's wishing everyone a prosperous 2024 with lots of friendly connection and plenty to be happy about. All the best from me.
Thank you for listening to the Mainly Moonology podcast. If you want to take Moonology to the next level and manifest the life of your dreams, join our growing community of magical people who come together to lift each other up as we meditate, manifest, and reclaim the magic that has been inside us all along. Head over to mainlymoonologymembership.com and awaken your true powers.